Wouldn't you love to know how to create, grow, and preserve your wealth? Well, you are now in the right place. Welcome to the Wealth Wise Podcast, all courtesy of VM Wealth Management. First up, it's Wealth Focus.
Hey, Podcast Land! Welcome to another exciting episode of the WealthWise Podcast. And we're here again for part two of the extremely informative and very much trending topic of cryptocurrency. Last week, we started delving into the world of cryptocurrency, and we got quite the introduction from our guest. So this week, we'll delve a little further into how cryptocurrency really works and how it's being used internationally, and if we out here in Jamaica are ready for it. If you're looking for a sign to know if you really should invest in cryptocurrency, then this episode is definitely for you. Last week, we spoke about what cryptocurrency is, why Bitcoin was implemented, the fundamental problem that Bitcoin is trying to solve, why people care about cryptocurrency, and some of the advantages as opposed to regular currency, what is causing the rally on the hype in the crypto market. And we also spoke about the general characteristics of the persons that use cryptocurrency, as well as the top crypto coins. So if you've missed out on part one, no need to worry. We've got you. Always keep this in mind, guys, that you can find us at vmwealthwise.buzzsprout.com. And in the same breath, just hop on over to our VM Wealth YouTube channel and subscribe. We're also on Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, and Deezer. Please do not forget our LinkedIn page at VM Wealth Management. Back in the hot seat for another week, you guessed it, our very own Stephen Bravo, Wealth Advisor at VM Wealth Management. And joining today, or returning resident of the penny section, Andrika Rigg. Hi, Stephen. Hi, Andrika. Welcome again.
Hey, Daniel. How are you doing?
Hi, Daniel. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh, you want to eat? Everybody just happy for talk about money and crypto and who going to get rich and who going to get richer, because, guys, you know that they're both invested in cryptocurrency, right?
Really, Daniel?
After talking business. Yeah. Locals want to know.
The locals, or Daniel wants to know.
I want to know.
But I'm happy to assist.
So I just want to know off the bat, how can you invest in cryptocurrency?
All right. So last show, I spoke a little bit about how it is that you can access cryptocurrency. Currently here in Jamaica locally, we do not have a direct access to cryptocurrency. However, Jamaicans still have access to crypto through parties or through exchanges who offer cryptocurrency overseas. So these are overseas crypto exchanges that specific countries outside of their borders are still able to invest in. So if it is whether it's a UK exchange, Canadian, US or Asian, some of them offer cryptocurrencies to different parts of the world. So if you're in Jamaica, you'll still be able to sign up to their cryptocurrency platform. And of course, you know, regular sign up process, KYC documents and things like that. And then you'll be able to start trading crypto. The only thing is that usually this will have to be accessed through using whether US dollars, euros, or even the British pound, pretty much.
So tell me, Stephen, going through an exchange outside of Jamaica will allow me to get involved or invest in crypto, but do I need to have a bank account outside of Jamaica to facilitate that?
No, as long as your local bank can facilitate wire transfers, then you should be okay to transfer the money to the exchange's bank account.
So it's pretty simple once you have a local bank account,
US
and
bank
you're
account,
able
right.
to do, or you have to have a local US.
Or it could be if, you know, we're pounds, if we offer that
whatever
here.
The currency.
Right, whatever the currency is. Usually I know that any other currency except for the Jamaican dollar is usually US dollar. So most local banks, of course, offer US dollar savings accounts. And that can be used, of course.
crypto fund.
Fund your the cryptocurrency exchanges. Correct.
And if I can just jump in real quick, it also helps if you have like a card, like a debit card.
Right.
Because you can just do a direct, I suppose you'd say, purchase.
Right. You could also do a direct purchase.
What in that? Hold on, penny section. Right, come, right, come on right. now, Andrika. Right. I need you to explain that a little bit more. You said that I can use my debit card.
Right. Or credit.
Or credit.
Mm-hmm. Or credit card to fund cryptocurrency.
Right. So let's say, for example, you have a Visa card.
Just like an online purchase.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So easy?
Yeah, it is. It is actually. But as I said, you have to go through the process of signing up for the exchange and being...
Oh, so I create my account or my profile.
Right, profile, right.
Like I'm setting up...
Like any other like investment banking account, right? Or any other online
there's
account,
a little more to it though. Because you have to verify that you're
actually
you.
It has to verify you, right. And there's things that they ask you to verify. So but it's simple.
It's a normal banking verification, even though it's unregulated.
No, okay. So let's talk about that a second. It's not fully regulated, but all these exchanges that operate, whether in the US, Europe, or Asia, to some extent would have a level of regulation. Now, I'm not sure of countries outside of the US, but take, for instance, like Coinbase in the US, they would have to work up through different patches of regulations that they put together. So it's like a patchwork of regulations that the US uses to sort of govern the cryptocurrency exchanges, given that there is not one fully
regulator body
for right. cryptocurrency per se, which they're working on. Of course, the FSC is not FSC. I'm so sorry about that.
The SEC
is working on. I'm so used to talking about Jamaica and FSC, of course. But the SEC in the United States, they are considering to amp up or to increase the regulations on cryptocurrency exchanges and to have actually a body, a framework for regulations in regards to cryptocurrencies.
So I know you went into what the SEC does, but what does SEC stand for?
Securities Exchange Commission.
Remember, say you're the bright people we want to know here in the podcast. You know, so since we're speaking about SEC and regulatory environment,
right.
how does the regulatory environment facilitate or limit the crypto trading?
Okay. So as I said before, I'm not going to speak on like the global environment because I mean, every country, has a different way in terms of how their regulatory bodies are set up in regards to crypto. Some may be further ahead than others, but, let's talk about, I spoke about the US and what they are planning to do. In terms of limiting crypto, I think that they just want to ensure the protection of investors and of people, and that this is not, you know, people don't get sucked into anything that could be a Ponzi scheme, which has happened before, because there have been cases of crypto exchanges that totally unregulated, and even being able to sign up without any form of KYC or any form of information that you really should have as an investment company dealing with money or securities or assets in general, and these companies have went down and people have lost money. So you have had cases of exchanges. One is like Cryptopia, I think was out of New Zealand. And funny enough, when I just started, I just wanted to see what it's about, and it was so easy to sign up and exchange cryptocurrencies on it and trade it. But it just went down, like out of nowhere.
So were you a part of that?
I came off of it. I was using it as a form of like, just to see what it was about.
Like a test.
As a test. But I realized that something was weird to me, because once I see that you are not accepting heavy verification and any form of KYC, then for me, it's just like, for me, it's almost like to stay away from. So I will tell people that is going into the crypto space, just be careful of some of these exchanges that do exist, because as you said, if they're not regulated and they operate, and you, that is at your own risk and your own peril. So of course, you have to be very, very careful as to where you sign up to. So what I look for is I look on the countries that the exchanges are from and how regulated they are, and read up on them first. So as I spoke on the last episode, I spoke on, of course, in the US, you have Coinbase. Of course, in the UK, you have CEX.io and you have Bitstamp.net. So those are, you know, very good crypto exchanges, and they are actually very specific in the cryptocurrencies that they list. So they don't just list every single cryptocurrency that's existing and on the market.
Which leads me right. to another important question. Mm-hmm. So these exchanges, the regulation, but I'm thinking these are run by persons, hierarchy.
Right. Companies, they have to go through the process.
They're a company.
Right. And they have to go through the process within their country that they can establish it first. They can't just pop up and create these.
That's what I wanted to know, because.
Like that, of course. So it's still, as I said, there are companies that, that are created online exchanges and that is not regulated in any shape or form. And it in the future, it comes with major problems for investors or for cryptocurrency investors per se. But you do have those that are perfectly fine in terms of it, the regulations.
So really and truly, uh-huh. the onus is on me, the investor, to do my research.
Definitely.
So that I can get a level of comfort in what I'm about to do to take on that. Because it is a risk.
Right.
Especially because it's being done outside of
your country. Jurisdiction and your borders, right.
Outside your borders, right. outside your regulation, your regulatory right. bodies and right. so on. It is a risk, but it's an exciting risk to take. Based on where the world is trending mm-hmm. With this topic. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so happy that we're having this conversation at this time. So do you think Jamaica is ready for crypto?
Okay, so my answer to that is originally I was on the fence about it, but I think that looking more into it, I don't really see why not. I think that we are, and as the part of the reason is that there are a handful of Jamaicans already involved in cryptocurrency out here. They have the knowledge and they would have probably, as I just spoke about, access it through overseas mm-hmm. Companies per se. But in terms of bringing cryptocurrency directly here where locals can access it through a framework here, I believe it should be good as long as there is a digital asset platform or digital asset trading platform, which will be available and probably be through an institution maybe, that can offer it. Now, let's go even further into that is so far what I've heard is...
So I mean to cut you. Right, I want right, to stop it right there.
Right.
Digital asset trading. What is that?
No, well, I mean, pretty much a digital asset trading platform is basically like an exchange. It's just a cryptocurrency exchange. It's another terminology to how you would put.
It's the exchange. Right.
It could be a platform that allows for the exchanges of cryptocurrency. So why I wanted to go further is that the Jamaica Stock Exchange actually is looking into that. And what they're looking to offer is a digital asset platform that they would then partner with an overseas company. I believe a company is Blockstation out of Canada, a very good company. And these guys are extremely knowledgeable about crypto and very bright. And so they are assisting, us here at the Jamaica Stock Exchange in setting up that digital platform where we'll be able to trade cryptocurrencies.
Before I go any further, I have another question. Mm-hmm. We will be able to trade it through our local brokers.
Right. That is what is being worked on.
Because we have a number of investors mm-hmm. Who would want to have it as a part of their portfolio, mm-hmm. but they would want to access it in a more regulated framework within their jurisdiction.
That's correct. I think that is a plus. I think that's a big advantage.
It's a big move by the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Right, it is. And also it is, to go even further into it, is it will allow other brokerages now, just like similar to when we offer stock on the Jamaica Stock Exchange, mm-hmm. You go through, the JCSD, and a lot of exchanges would use like the JSC's platform, JTrader. So similarly to that, eventually investment brokerages in Jamaica would then allow that access. So if you are, say, a client of, say, or let's say VMWealth, of course, you are a client of VMWealth, then you will be able to access the digital asset trading platform
that is being developed by the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
So
it would be the fancier type of trading that we have the day trader that we use for stocks. We as investors now will have that opportunity to access this platform and do our own exchange.
I think it is very exciting and of course, you know, at them partnering with Blockstation, of course that JC would have been much harder to do it on their own. And I believe that Blockstation would probably the expertise and the licensing and certain things probably would be make it a lot easier for them to, you know, to develop and offer it here to Jamaican people. So you know, what I can say now is that for VMWealth is we are probably going to be one of the first now to step out and basically put this out there and take that dive and that jump. You know, so take that leap.
Pioneers, as you say. I love it.
Yes.
But I'm not hearing anything over the penny section. Drop a penny or something.
Well, I wanted to comment on Jamaica's readiness because the beautiful thing about it is outside of this, we are already interested. There are a lot of persons you'll find in spaces that are already trying to invest that are already investing.
Andrika and her friends.
Yes, definitely.
So what this does is that we get to take it more locally and, you know, Jamaica benefits. Like this is just a benefit all around. So yeah, we're definitely ready for it.
More money, we say.
Right away.
Thank you, Penny Section. So Stephen, I heard you mention blockchain before, but we didn't go into it.
Right.
What is blockchain technology?
Okay, so let me just divert a little bit. We spoke about cryptocurrency and what cryptocurrency is, but one thing that I forgot to mention is that the reality is that cryptocurrency can't exist without the blockchain. And the blockchain is the decentralized network platform. So really, it is a technology that enables the existence of cryptocurrency. And it's really a decentralized ledger of all transactions across a peer-to-peer network. Now, let me explain that.
Yes, because I was going to say
So decentralized is meaning that it's not centralized or governed by one body like typical currency. Typical fiat currency or regular money is issued by central banks, and that's centralized. They make decisions in terms of printing money, in terms of different decisions that has to be made in regards to currency. Where a decentralized platform is without that. So it eliminates all centralized parties, just moving from individuals to individuals. So it is basically like a currency that the people can use without having any form of intervention in it. So then that's a great thing about it being decentralized. Now the ledger part is, of course, every transaction that's made data, you know, it has to be kept, and this data, it has to be very secured, because every single transaction that's done is stored on the blockchain. And that data is very, very important in terms of its structure and security. So basically it creates like a digital record that the data and it can be shared among a network of independent parties. And so when you think of peer-to-peer, is that individual, it's like an individual computer system. And so, you know, it's connected all to each other over the internet to share files or to share data.
So hold on. So blockchain technology is like a database.
Well, right. So it stores
my receipt.
Right. And everything. Every transaction. Correct.
So because it is stored, I can always look at my transaction history.
Anytime, you can always look at the transaction history after verification. And so the data is extremely secured. It's very, very, very hard to hack. You know, it's actually, anybody that would be able to hack the blockchain is usually like probably some of the best in the world, which of course you'll always have people that will always be trying to do stuff like that. But it's extremely, extremely secure. And that's the purpose of it. And it's supposed to be much faster and to bypass centralized authorities, to bypass third parties that tend to probably slow down or cost you more in terms of fees. So for example, let's say you have like intermediary banking that we know intermediary banks exist. And I'm not talking down on the banking sector in any shape or form, but pretty much blockchain technology and cryptocurrency in terms of trading currency per se will basically bypass forms of intermediary banks or intermediary banking. So, and then that in itself would, you know, less in terms of transaction fees. So and in terms of quicker movement globally. So I could be here in Jamaica and someone could be in Russia and, you know, we just send crypto to each other extremely quick, very fast. Once the transaction is done, it's verified, stored on the blockchain. I mean, it's literally, I don't have to go through the different stages and processes like in a very highly regulated and centralized currency system.
So it's instantaneous.
Very much so.
And the trick about it too, or I guess the good part is just like how you sign up for a bank account, you have your bank account number, you literally have your crypto ID. I'm calling it crypto ID, which is for you only.
Right.
So once
nobody else.
No, and it's a very long thing, like many digits.
So Penny Section. I mean, sorry, Andrika. So you mentioned crypto ID. Is your crypto ID for all your crypto accounts that you trade, maybe because you have different exchanges? So is it unique to a particular exchange or is just one ID for every exchange that you go on?
No, every exchange would have different IDs.
Oh, so just like a bank, if you have five different banks or five different bank accounts at different banks, you have five different account numbers.
Right.
So like crypto, the crypto ID, you know, whichever exchanges that you're a part of, your ID is unique to that particular one.
Too much. And then depending on whatever cryptocurrency you're purchasing, you get what is called the address for it.
So that's like the currency. Or the type.
Another example is you're purchasing Bitcoin. The only way you can do that is if you have a BTC address. And BTC is the acronym for Bitcoin.
For Bitcoin.
Right. So if I want to send you Bitcoin, I have to know your BTC address to send it to you.
And it's a very long cryptograph type of code in a way. It's basically, it's not. So, but you have one thing about the blockchain and about cryptocurrency you have to know. Because of its decentralization, where you have to govern in terms of and ensure that you are putting in the right data and information. You cannot be, what's the word? You cannot be slapdash because you have to be very acute. You have to really know
what is acute.
So I understand
that you're trying to be as eloquent as possible.
No, okay. So
I want to make sure that I understand.
So you have to be sharp. And reason is that when you're doing these type of transactions, you have to ensure that the addresses are correct. So if I'm sending you Bitcoin and you give me your address, you have to ensure it's correct. But with technology, it's easier because you could just copy your address to a clipboard and send it to me, or you can do it through the scan. You can scan it to me.
You have a barcode,
like a barcode. Yeah.
Oh, what a piece of technological excitement!
But yes, it is.
I'm very impressed with this conversation. This is so cool.
But if you don't copy it to the clipboard or let me scan it and you decide to type it out to me or anything, do not make a mistake, because if I send that money to your or whether I send that cryptocurrency to your Bitcoin address and it's the wrong one, then it's gone.
Yeah.
Forever.
Especially if it's someone else's address.
So that is, I think those are some of the concerns that centralized authorities may also have in terms of reversing transactions and stuff like that. If you make those type of errors, it's a problem.
It's irreversible at this time. Mm-hmm.
Right. So for that reason, it's so secure because you know that your BTC address is your BTC address. Same thing for your ETH or whichever coin you're interested in. And once you sign up for an exchange, I'm using crypto ID very loosely, by the way, but each exchange has an ID that is assigned to you, the user, your user ID then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To make it easier.
Right.
Wow. I'm sure that the listeners, boy, are you guys okay? I hope you are. I hope you're still with us. If you need a, you know, a quick water break, just go to your fridge right now. Take up your, make sure you have your pen and your notepad with you still. If you do have any questions for us, please write them down. Wow. So blockchain, we talk about the regulatory environment. What is the impact on various sectors and how is crypto used in those sectors?
There are different sectors that you could use blockchain technology in per se. Not necessarily with the focus on the currency itself or the token, but in terms of what the company is trying to do in regards to its fundamentals. So for example, like the automotive industry, like consumers could use a blockchain to manage ownership of cars on like in terms of a database. Or for example, in the future, if you have like autonomous cars that maybe are driving by itself and you have two owners, and the blockchain will be able to manage.
That is quite futuristic.
Yeah, it's very,
very futuristic
in regards to that. Because at some point, you know, you see Tesla and other EV companies working towards electric cars, but of course they're also working to cars that are self-driven and autonomous. So if is it that you could use a blockchain to kind of manage the ownership of these vehicles on a database or stuff like that. Financial services could use blockchain technology to improve banking, like faster and cheaper settlements, reduce transaction costs, and improving transparency.
So if we're bringing blockchain technology mm-hmm. to or regulated environment, I mm-hmm. guess then it can be used for optimizing the banking experience.
Very much so.
It can be. And what can also happen is that you can use it for the exchange of goods and services too.
Wow.
So, right. For example, if you want to sell a car, someone can purchase car using their Bitcoin.
Look, if it's a private company, to be honest with you, and I just use Tesla as an example because people are up on news and they know that that was something that Elon Musk said. He said that he would accept cryptocurrency or Bitcoin as an exchange to buy a Tesla. Now, he pulled back on that, of course. But in the future, at some point, it's going to be the case. I mean, that company holds Bitcoin on its books from an institutional investor perspective, and so does a lot of other companies. So I don't see why it wouldn't be the case in the future. It could be another coin. It could be Doge, because he's a big believer and of course, you know, pusher in that specific coin itself.
So Stephen, you mentioned, you keep saying the word future.
Mm-hmm.
What does the future of the crypto space look like?
Give
me one word.
I think it's just exciting. I think it's very exciting. And that's because, you know, in life, things always evolve and it just cannot remain the same. And we have to always adapt to that evolution. So I think in terms of money, currency, it will definitely evolve, whether it's digital currencies through central banks or whether it's through digital currencies through cryptocurrency.
So do you think Jamaica is going to be a part of the future of crypto?
Yeah, I believe so. In terms of using cryptocurrencies, trading, accepting it, and possibly, maybe, or hopefully, I would say that we could, you know, it could be a case where we have both options in terms of using cryptocurrency as opposed to using the central bank's digital currency, which they're also working on. So like the BOJ is working on its digital currency platform, but of course it's not going to be the blockchain. It's not going to be a decentralized platform because it's a central bank. It's going to be centralized. But it's still pretty much exciting.
So BOJ is working on a platform as well as Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Well,
what is the difference?
JSC is going to be more of the trading aspect. Mm-hmm. So the Jamaica Stock Exchange platform is more along the lines of a digital trading platform, which is to exchange, you know, being able to purchase cryptocurrencies and exchange it as some form of investment of a digital asset. So like, you know, like how you purchase stocks and you're able to trade it, buy and sell based on the price, same mm-hmm. type of concept.
All right.
Yeah.
any section.
Mm-hmm. And then also, because the coin, cryptocurrency was intended to be the people's coin. That's mm-hmm. really what it's supposed to
right.
be.
Power to the people.
Right.
Power, yeah, power so to the people. What that does is if it really continues to be the people's coin, it means that exchanges between peer-to-peer exchange mm-hmm. becomes easier.
Life, much easier.
By extension, becomes easier because things are literally can be in the moment. I need you to do something for me. I can send you some cryptocurrency and it gets done, as opposed to us trying to figure out other ways of doing it. So I feel like the future, I guess the word I would use is quick.
Quick. Yeah,
quick. Sharp. Exciting. Fast, yeah, exciting and quick.
Sharp. What do you call it? Acute. Quick. What a podcast. What an episode. I must say, guys, I can't wait for it to reach Jamaica because I'm a moderate risk profile type of person, mm-hmm. investor.
Right.
And boy, man, tell you, the fact that it's not centralized mm-hmm. Or regulated in the capacity that I would want it to be regulated because of what I'm used to out here in Jamaica, mm-hmm. well, I may just wait till it come.
But the thing...
I'm going to ask you, though, to continue to guide me in terms of, right. you know, the information so I'm more comfortable. Mm-hmm. So once it dropped on a JSE... Mm-hmm. And VM Wealth, I shall be signing up because I shall be trading. And I know that Andrika going to sell me some of her things that she own from like long time at a very cheap rate. Because she's my friend over there in the penny station. She wants me to get that money. She wants me to get my gains. You know what
I love
about gains.
Cryptocurrency? I don't choose how much I sell it for.
You know, me can, but
So back to guiding you though, Daniela. One thing I must say though is that given that cryptocurrency is global... And it's a decentralized exchange. And the market is the market, of course, demand and supply.
Uh-huh.
So even when it's in the Jamaican space, the price of the currencies in itself is not going to be any much more or less volatile. So meaning that you'll have better access to acquiring these the digital assets, but the prices will still be...
But I can't negotiate price.
No, it would still be based on... the market in itself and what the current price of the cryptocurrencies
are.
It's
a little bit it's still
regardless, it's still going to be...
because in my head, I'm mm-hmm. used to the local equities
right,
trading.
Right. Which more controlled,
you can negotiate
course.
A yes. price with mm-hmm. a buyer mm-hmm. and a seller.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, so...
Because, I mean, look, the thing is that once you're using an exchange, of course, there's a possibility of always negotiations, but then that negotiation still revolve around the market price, yeah. which is still somewhat volatile. It still will be up and down, and yeah.
The cryptocurrency.
The people's coin.
It's the people's coin, yeah. but it is not for the faint of heart.
No, it is not. It isn't.
I'm loving this conversation, and I must tell you, Penny Section, thank you for your contribution. And Stephen, thanks for coming again this week.
It was quite exciting.
It was quite informative. And boy, the listeners, them, Lord, I can feel that they're going to be asking, I want to talk to Mr. Bravo. I want to talk to Stephen. How can I find him? How can we find you, Stephen?
So you can reach me by calling Victoria Mutual Wealth Management at 960-5000 extension 5413, or you could get me via email at stephen.bravo@myvmgroup.com. That's stephen.bravo@myvmgroup.com.
Well, there you have it, guys. Wow. What an episode.
Let's raise your MQ on Money Intel.
In the world of cryptocurrency, Stephen taught us a few new words. But what do they really mean? Stephen, break them down for me one by one. And we will start with peer-to-peer.
Peer-to-peer. To understand peer-to-peer, you have to know what a peer is. Of course, an individual computer system connected to each other that over the internet to share files or to share data. So, for example, I upload something to a platform, then you can access what I have uploaded to that platform. That's the network there, my computer to your computer. Directly, no third party. Right.
KYC,
KYC is really just know your customer. So that is to get as much information about your customer when they're signing up for any account, whether it's a banking account or investment brokerage account or a cryptocurrency exchange. For example, it's what you usually use to open an account, such as your government ID, which would have your name on it, your social security number, or in Jamaica, your tax registration number, proof of address, proof of income, and so forth.
Coinbase.
Coinbase is a cryptocurrency exchange that's based in the United States of America.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin is the first cryptocurrency to come into existence.
Soft wallet.
Soft wallet is a virtual wallet where you store your cryptocurrency. Instead of leaving it on an exchange, you will move the crypto that you own onto your soft wallet or your virtual wallet. That could be held on your computer, laptop, tablet, or phone.
Hard wallet.
Hard wallet now is a physical wallet that's more like a ledger. Could be a USB ledger that you store your cryptocurrency.
Digital gold.
Right. Bitcoin is seen as digital gold by most Bitcoin investors due to its limitation in supply.
Blockchain mining.
Blockchain mining is pretty much how cryptocurrencies are created on the blockchain and distributed to others.
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Satoshi Nakamoto is the name that the public knows as the person who created Bitcoin.
And that's it for today. Tune in next week, same time, same place. And for all your wealth management needs, just call us at 876-960-5000 or email us at wealthinfo@myvmgroup.com. Podcast production courtesy of Infinity Media. Don't forget, you can build your wealth with us at VM Wealth Management. Advice, solutions, performance.